Welcome and breathe in air. Abstract Illusions Radio, the show that explores and exposes the many aspects of expression, with your host, Jennifer Hellman. Good evening, everyone, and happy April Fool's Day, but we're not fooling around today. We actually have a wonderful guest on. This is Jennifer Hellman, and I thank you for joining us on air. Tonight's guest is Tom Jacobs. He is an evolutionary astrologer, medium, and channel with an active private practice with clients all over the country and all over the world. He is a member of the Evolutionary Astrology Stephen Forrest Apprentice Program since 2004. And he's awesome. His work is karmic. Well, I know him. He actually lives in Tucson, so I know him. So it's always nice to be face to face with your guests. It makes a whole difference. He teaches karmic astrology with intuitive skill development, both privately and in groups. He does great in groups, and privately. He has a special interest about how health effects is affected by karma and so much more. Anyway, you have so much information. It's probably best that you say it because I'm just really excited to have you on the show.
Thank you so much. I'm really excited to be here, Jen. Thank you.
So we originally met, and I do want to, it's strange how things happen. I kept having a vision of the name Thomas and saying, this person is important to you. And I didn't know any Thomases. And then all of a sudden on a meetup, I see that Tom is doing readings. And I tried to get in to get a reading with him, and he didn't have any time, so I had to wait till the next time. So I finally did have a reading, and I said, well, I was supposed to meet you. I'm not quite sure why, but yeah. I think you have a message for me.
Yeah.
And it was very awesome to have that face-to-face with him. And I said, you know, if you ever want to do anything with your beautiful gift and be on my show. And now he has these wonderful books. He actually has two books. We're going to be focusing on Seeing Through Spiritual Eyes, a memoir of intuitive awakening. And he does have a wonderful, thorough, boy, it really is quite, comprehensive website, which is tdjacobs.com, correct?
Yeah. TD like Thomas David. So yeah, TD Jacobs. Yeah.
So, and please check that out. It has wonderful, wonderful information. So, Tom, how are you doing today?
Hey, I'm great. I'm happy to be here.
Go on.
I'm happy to be here. I love doing this. I love talking about this stuff, and I think this book is really going to be important for people who are opening to their intuitive sides and learning to trust themselves. So I'm happy to get the word out, and I'm just happy to be here.
Now, we actually met for lunch one time, and you said, I have all these ideas and all these books, and I'm writing all this stuff. Was this one of these books?
This was actually not one of these books. I've had all these ideas, I mean, probably the last 5 to 6 or 7 years since this whole stuff started happening, traces out this process of opening to working with spirit and living in a different way. And I had all these ideas, you know, all these ideas about astrology and mythology and all these different things, but I just didn't have any clarity on how to articulate any of it. So I've written a monthly column for a couple of years, and so I write a lot regularly. I also blog through my site, but I didn't have this, you know, kind of grounded opening to actually sit down and write them all. I think it was right after after we had lunch that day that things just started snapping into focus. So I was already writing one book that's going to be published in about a month, but these two that I've just published actually came together pretty quickly since I saw you last.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent. So this basically is you as a medium and a channel recounting 7 years spiritual journey.
Yeah.
From bearing the intuitive side and working as a professionally with spiritual guides, ascending masters, and spirits, right?
Yeah, I mean, really the book is about this dude who did not want to trust his intuition, getting from this place of denying it and trying not to open and trying not to hear what spirit was saying and trying not to hear what my higher self was saying, and then getting to the professional stuff. So it's really about the process of becoming willing to live a life that trusts, you know, trusts me and trusts my guides in life. Yeah.
That is one thing that I think is the biggest stumbling block, is actually trusting.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we're all naturally intuitive. I know we are. We're all naturally intuitive. We all have guidance teams, whether it's one or two or 30 different people who are hanging around to help us out and coming in and out to help us. And we know we're intuitive. but we also have a bunch of, you know, I always get the image of, I'm driving this car down the road, and in the back seat are a bunch of parts of me, disgruntled, hurt, traumatized inner children, and they're all screaming, and they want this, and they want that. You know, they don't want to go where I'm going. And so they drive us off the road. They reach over my shoulder and drive us off the road. That's the image I get for a lot of this. And so we know who should be driving, you know, the part of us that is clear and grounded and has that sense of intuition and can really trust ourselves. And yet we have all these unresolved parts that need resolution. So the book is in many ways about me dealing with all the little screaming kids who were in the back seat who didn't want me to go anywhere.
Well, that's a fun trip.
Yeah. That's really what the book is about. And I do interweave it with, experiences, you know, professionally, but it is a lot about that process of reorienting how I thought about myself and the world in order to be willing to do this kind of stuff. And I think, you know, it's not useful just for people who want to do this professionally. It's really about, you know, a relationship with myself, which, you know, the principles can translate into other people's relationships with themselves,
right.
You know, and relationship with spirit. But, you know, and one way of looking at it, a relationship with myself as a part of spirit.
Yes.
And that's a healing thing that a lot of people crave right now. And if you do it within a religion, that's cool. If you do it outside of a religion, that's cool too. But we need that. I think this is a natural human need, you know, to connect with the divine in some way, to know ourselves as part of the divine.
And trust that part of yourself.
Exactly.
Is being whole and complete.
Yeah.
It's been there, done that, as well as you know, and it isn't always the easiest thing to do.
Yeah.
But I'm also know that I would not turn back and not do it, even if I wanted to. I mean, it was so well worth it.
Yeah, I'm with you.
So, it's not always the fun part to see your shadow.
Yeah.
Was there one experience that you want to talk about that was in the book that it was really difficult for you to really focus in on yourself and realize, wow, that's really a part of me. That's something I really need to look at.
Well, honestly, about a quarter of the book is about the channeling class that I took in Los Angeles. And I would say all the experiences from this particular four-month period where I took this class were that way. I had to drag myself to the class every single week. Like as soon as I, at the first meeting, as soon as I saw what was going to happen, as soon as I saw that I was going to have to deal with all this stuff and confront all this shadow stuff, it was almost impossible to get me to go there every single week. So for the next 15 weeks, I struggled with that. And it was actually getting to the place where I knew there was support. The teacher was great, and she facilitated a group of, I think it started off with 8 or 9 people, you know, held a space for all of us to go through this individual facing ourselves process. And so it was the perfect, you know, lining up of circumstance, and I knew that, and that's why I took the class. But yeah, actually facing it, actually sitting down and dealing with the parts of myself that didn't want to know what my spirit guides might say. You know, I think part of me expected judgment from them, and I didn't understand, you know, because I was judging myself and projecting. And I think I didn't understand that all they do is love you. And everything they do has to do with helping you love yourself. I didn't know that. So that was probably the biggest single hurdle. It was just a 16-week episode.
Well, okay. Well, 16 weeks, that's pretty quick.
That's when it started. It took me about 5 years. That's a good point. It took me about 5 years to really get to the point where I was open to all the lessons that were presented to me during that four-month period. And you know, as soon as that all clicked into place, I wrote this book because I knew that I had just graduated from my class that happened, you know, 5 years ago at that point. Yeah.
Hi, we had technical difficulties, and Seth wanted to make sure everything was okay, but it was just little old Jen hitting her mute button and not realizing. And we are talking with Tom Jacobs and his wonderful new book, Seeing Through Spiritual Eyes, a Memoir of Intuitive Awakening. And I was asking Tom when he really could really trust that the divine is really there for him.
Yeah, it happened in the early mediumship experiences that I had when I first started to learn that. Like, channeling for me was really hard, and that involved getting out of the way. And that was a long-term process. But mediumship for me was really, really quick. And I would get into the space with other mediums where I was a part of a group for a couple of months, that a mediumship circle, essentially. And as soon as I would get into that space, my guides and some other energies I work with who come in and out would show me what I would be doing that evening. And then 10, 20, 30 minutes later, I would do it. So I learned by being shown what I was going to do. And that was unbelievably reassuring. I mean, it was great for my self-confidence. It was empowering. But I really felt like I had access and the support of a team, access to a team. And so that was an amazing validation, I suppose, that all of this really was true. All of this really was happening. I needed it to be true. And so, and there's actually one other experience I recount in the book that's a great example, which is I was on a trip to Ohio to see family a few years ago, and a friend of mine went with me, and she's very intuitive, very psychic. And when we were in Ohio, she told me about this dream that she had about her life. So, I mean, a thing she wanted to do with her life, you know, like creating a thing out of her life, like creating a work of art out of her life in this particular way. She had never told anybody. And I really felt honored by this. And when we were done talking, I went off to do some meditation by myself. And I just said, you know, to the universe, to my guides, to whomever might be listening, I want to support people in naming their dreams and their secret desires, and then learning to do things about them, figuring out what it takes to get there. And immediately I got this rush that said to me that, you know, like a physical sensation that said to me that the room just filled up with beings. And I ended up having some implantation, some surgery for the next maybe 45 minutes where some delicious, loving, liquid, lighty goo stuff was poured into my sixth chakra. And I know it was all about helping me to develop clarity, which is something that goes with the sixth chakra, to be able to do what I said I wanted to do. So I made this intention based in a really selfless kind of love. Like, I would find incredible joy if I could support people in naming this part of themselves and doing something about it. And I instantly got this tremendous boost of support and help. And that really, you know, having that direct contact in that moment was very important to me too. Yeah.
So with that being said, and you mentioned about mediumship, and you know, it's something that a lot of people get very nervous about, mediumship and channeling and all, is getting the right kind of people. They worry about negative or evil spirits coming in and taking over. How do you filter that kind of stuff out? Is that something that you cover in the book?
I do, and I actually include an appendix which spells out and then offers some commentary on a meditation I use and I teach to people, because I teach intuitive skills development too, and this is what people come in with, this concern about, they might not want to do mediumship and channeling, but they do, but lots of people have that concern that you said, you know, how do I know it's going to be the right people? How do I know it's not going to be bad people or bad energies? So what I do is I focus on how I'm vibrating, and my daily practice that adds up over the long term is to raise my vibration incrementally as much as I can, so that I'm vibrating love. And then part of this meditation says everything that can't match my frequency of love must go away. And so by consistently doing that, I create great boundaries around me by asserting I'm about love. This is my frequency. Everything that cannot match it, because the beings of light, your spirit guides, ascended masters, can all match it and go above it, but anybody else can't. Right? So, because there are people who are worried about protection, and you know, like I tell my students, and it isn't a lot in the book, is about this boundary idea. Being clear about what you're available for, and then working to raise your love vibration, and. This is not a fluffy new age, hey, this dude was from LA kind of thing. This is like a real vibratory, practice to raise your vibration in order to edit out what doesn't work for you. When you do it, as you know, the listeners might not, but you do, you know, when you do that, then the things that don't fit with you, which, you know, negative things, if you're vibrating higher, all those low things can't come in. Or if they do, they can't stick, they can't vibrate with you, so they probably don't want to be around you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. So my practice is to weed them out by being loving to myself and to the world around me, and I don't have any issues with that stuff. So that's what I focus on, teaching people how to have that boundary, not thinking they need protection, but by increasing their vibration.
And that is a wonderful thing, because, you know, you might be protecting yourself and really kind of leaving out somebody that really is supposed to be within. The other thing that I always stress is, you know, making sure that there's no cords. And even though you might have hybrid, there's sneaky little suckers out there. the areas that I always check are my lower back, my neck, the back of my neck, right at the base of the neck. Those are the two areas that they really like to attach to. And I always just clear those off. And I always just say, any cords that's not for my highest good, cut them off now. Disconnect them, fill them with love. and just raise my vibration even higher. And it's there's a lot of wonderful spirits out there that are so ingenious and clever that if you protect yourself, you might be literally getting in your own way by doing that.
Exactly.
And that's, like you said, that's the one thing that is really crucial, is getting out of your own way so spirit, the universe can really help you out, because it's so much easier if they do.
Yeah. Well, you know what goes with this, and I was telling this group that I had last night, that started one of this intuitive skills classes in Tucson, and one of the people in the class said, we were setting intentions for the class, and he said, yeah, I want to protect myself. So we, you know, this opened this conversation.
Right.
And so, yeah, the more that you're saying, I don't want this, or I want to be protected, the more you are cutting that stuff off. And what I hope to do with people is to teach them how to live open-hearted lives, experience what's happening around them, like feel all that they can feel, and yet be grounded and clear about how emotions are working and not, you know, running off the tracks. Because this is another fear going with this protection idea, is that if I open my heart, then, oh, there's just going to be this outpouring of ridiculous, excessive emotionalism and all this stuff. And so the ideal is really to go around with an open heart, but have really clear boundaries and be able to, like you're saying, cut cords, get rid of all the energies that don't belong to you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so my whole goal is to get people to open their hearts and use it as, it's essentially a truth meter, is one of the ways you can think of the fourth chakra, the heart center. You know, right. It tells you what's true, your brain. And I think everyone who comes to me for class has some element of this, because most of us, you know, flip up into our brains until we learn how not to. And that's where you're running, like, all these protection strategies and, oh, contingencies and all this stuff. And it's just much better to have the brain be a tool and have the heart be open.
Now, yes, definitely. Living through the heart is so much nicer. you mentioned something that is also very crucial, besides just the boundary thing, isn't,
yeah.
That's grounding. That's huge.
Yeah.
There's so many people who start this and they're like in Lululand, and you got to pull them down so they really have a reality, so they don't fall down and have a serious reality check that is not pleasant.
Yeah.
A spiritual crash is no fun.
Yeah.
So I feel if you're really grounded, it helps.
Yeah, definitely. What I have my students do is do this meditation every single day. And it's not that you do it well or do it happily every day. It's not that you complete it every day, but you always, like, do this grounding thing every single day, because you have to reorient how you look at the world. And that, I mean, the name of the class and the name of the book we're talking about is Seeing Through Spiritual Eyes. And if you aren't grounded, you will never be able to see through your spiritual eyes. You'll see through your fluffy New Age eyes,
mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
Which is a lot different.
Okay, make a distinction here. If you're going to bring that up,
yeah.
What's the classification between those? And then we'll get to the grounding. But what's a what is this spiritual eyes versus the fluffy eyes?
Yeah.
New Age eyes.
So the fluffy eyes thing is about knowing that there's cause and effect, knowing that you attract things in your life and you create your reality, but not being able to see the bird's eye view on what your soul is doing in the first place by creating them. And so you can be in your sixth and seventh chakra and not be grounded and do intuitive work. And, you know, right. If you've ever done a psychic fair or an expo, we've met those people who can tell you where you lost your keys. They can tell you what your sister's middle name is, but they might not be able to tell you how to fix a health issue because they're not grounded and seeing the real big picture of it. So it's not enough to be in our sixth chakra or our seventh chakra or even our fifth chakra, because that's a channeling chakra, right? The trust.
Right.
Right, it's not enough to do those things, because if you're not grounded, you're not fully in your body and you're not connected to the earth. So it's like all of the energy you're running. You think about it with appliances, electrical things that have to be grounded. If it's not grounded, it doesn't have a firm foundation, and you're going to have sparks flying out of control later. So the bird's eye view, that's what I call the seeing through spiritual eyes. You know, why did I pick the family I picked? You know, family is a big deal for a lot of people. Why,
right.
Why would you pick that family? Well, if you can learn how to see this big picture, then you can understand what the lessons you have mm-hmm. asked them to teach you are, and vice versa. But you cannot do it if you're not grounded, because the more grounded, and I literally think about it being connected energetically to the earth itself.
Mm-hmm.
And, but I had to get from what is grounding, what does that mean? You know, people telling me, people giving me advice, and I had to really carry that vision with me in order to make it happen, frankly. And also I use food to help me with that too. You know, so I'm very clear that when I eat sugar, I'm not grounded. You know what I mean? Like, things go a little out of control. So, yeah, but if you're not grounded, if you're not connected to the earth, you're not stable enough to be able to really take in the lessons that you need to learn in order to move beyond your persistent patterns.
Yes, yeah. Those wonderful patterns.
I know. So the spiritual eyes thing is, why is this happening? What am I supposed to be learning from it? What are the different ways that I can respond that will serve my soul's journey and everyone else's involved? So it's a real rational, clear-headed response, but you can't really get there if you're not grounded enough to let emotions play their role but not take over, especially in something that's such, you know, hot button issue like family stuff can be.
Right. Yeah, yeah, not attached to the drama that is around you every day.
Right.
Which is, it's very interesting to kind of stand back and be the witness and really just see it outside of yourself, the drama that plays out.
And that's what I want everyone to do, yeah.
It's so amusing.
I know. Well, then there you go. Then you can actually enjoy what's happening. You can say, why did I pick this family who, you know, didn't understand or seem to appreciate me? Well, I picked them to show me this about my soul's journey, etc. And then you can actually enjoy that play, because once you understand the lesson, it doesn't have to be hard anymore. Like, it's only hard so you look at it.
Right. Yeah. And it's interesting, at least in my experience, they always gave me clues in my dreams. And if I met somebody, even with any relationship, if I felt this certain connection with somebody, I would always say, show me in a dream what the lesson is. Give me a heads up of what I'm looking for. And generally, they would show me a past life that I had with that person.
Right.
And what wasn't completed or what the pattern was with that person.
Right. And I think a lot of people, go ahead.
Oh, it just made it a lot easier to detach from the drama, to understand the patterns. I mean, some of the people had no clue, were not really that spiritual, thought I was a little wacky and crazy, but that's fine. I love them anyway. And
sure.
I bless everybody that's crossed my path because they really have help me grow.
Yeah.
And that's one thing I do want to stress is when you do really get these spiritual eyes, you will have a great appreciation for everybody that does come into your life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Thank
Good,
you.
Bad, wonderful. They're there. There's, you have an agreement with them in some way. And, you know, thank them for playing their part in your play.
That's a great point. That's awesome. Thank you. Yeah, what I wanted to say is that people who are listening who are curious about what other guides might say, bring them into your dreams. Just like Jen just said, you can ask for that clarity if you haven't, if you haven't explored that or not sure, how your guides might communicate with you. Dream states, nocturnal dreams, are a fabulous way because you're open, especially if you set that intention, saying, I would like to learn about this situation through a dream. Mm-hmm. They're jumping up and down because you're asking for support and you're willing to play. So that's a great, that's a great place for anybody. Even if you don't usually remember your dreams, try it out.
Well, the other thing I always do is make sure I remember it consciously and in the physical.
Uh-huh. Perfect.
That way, you know, and usually what they do is they'll start kind of semi-waking me up, but you're still in that zone.
Uh-huh.
And then they'll play the movie, and it's like, wow, and they'll just start writing it down.
Yeah.
And just see the patterns that it's going on. I did want to open up the phone lines. And the number is 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. So if you have questions for Tom on spiritual journey, if you've got any kind of questions you want to know about where you're at your spiritual journey, or even make a comment, just please give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. Again, the book is Seeing Through Spiritual Eyes, a memoir of an intuitive awakening. And this is Tom Jacob. His website is tdjacobs.com. He is an astrologer. He's got tons of information. He has wonderful blogs on what's going on with the planets. And it is rather an interesting time these days, astrology-wise even. It's really supporting the spiritual journey and pushing people to really get in gear.
Yeah.
And it's like they're almost like not taking excuses these days. You can't say, can I get back to you next week? They're saying, no, it's now.
I know.
Nice try.
And just to anybody who's listening who finds, you know, him or herself in that kind of process, it feels inescapable. You totally asked for it to happen. It couldn't happen if you hadn't, you know, set it in motion and asked to evolve, just for your reference.
And the thing is the other thing that I love about this is after I go through a process, they always show me the setup, how I set myself up for the lesson.
Yeah.
And it's just so fun to see the movie of what I've done. It's like, oh, wow, I had no idea I did that, but that's really cool. You guys are good.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you're not going to really, like you as an individual, you're not going to really be able to process it until you see that, you know, until you understand that setup. Like, you're never going to learn the lesson until you really, really get it. And are able to get perspective, you know, however that works. Yeah.
And it was interesting. Actually, I saw the setup, me setting it up as I was setting it up.
Okay.
And it was
I knew
that I was in the process of going through a lesson again.
Yeah.
And I'm going, okay, here we go again. You know, it's just like, let's play this out. Got to get through this. I understand this. There's something you missed last time. Let's get it clear this time.
Definitely, definitely.
So it is... It is a lot of fun, but, you know, was there, you know, before you really accepted it, were you having lots of dreams? Were you having a lot of premonitions? I mean, what was, you know, how were they knocking on your head and trying to wake you up?
Well, one of the big things was right after I moved to L.A., because this started when I moved there in, I guess it was mid-2003. And when I got there, I had... My consciousness would skip like a record.
Mm-hmm.
Either I would skip ahead a couple of seconds and miss a couple of seconds, or I would see something happen before it happened and then it would happen. But also skipping, like I felt like I would lose a quarter of a second or something, and I wasn't sure how, you know, what was going on. I felt like I'd been drugged. And so that happened a lot. And then, there were dreams, there were these meetings with people and then also beings in dreams that just had this vibration, this heaviness, this saturation of pay attention to this kind of energy.
Right.
That I just, and it took several years to piece everything together, but a lot of it had to do with two dear friends of mine in Los Angeles, one of whom was from the San Francisco Bay Area, and the three of us used to go up there and hang out with his friends, people he knew. And a lot of them had this kind of energy when I was around them. And I felt this, you know, this is something meaningful. Pay attention to what they can teach you. And so it was coming at me from all angles. And they would even say things specifically like, oh, well, you're just not in your body, or you just don't trust that you're, you know, a happy part of the universe, or you get to be here, or whatever it was, just kind of reflecting to me what the energies I was carrying, the attitudes and beliefs. So it was coming at me from all sides.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, definitely. And we have Linda from Washington online too. Hi, Linda. How are you?
Well, I'm doing just fine, and I'm really enjoying what the two of you are talking about, because I thought it would apply to my situation right now, having bought land and being a solo flight, single woman, doing this project that I've created food supply before in Hawaii, and here I am in Washington State wanting to do that again, and I'm doing this fence project, and the workers were being so casual that it ended up where the person that I got the bid from wasn't overseeing. And, you know, when the cat's away, the mice will play, right? And I was seeing, you know, observing all this, and he ended up pulling off the job. So I'm sitting here with a fence job, you know, 1,200 feet, half done, and I'm just wondering, okay, now what? You know, it's all process, and we're we're all learning something here, but I'm wondering if he's going to return or if that's it, you know, from his ego and arrogance and whatnot. So here I am.
Yeah. Well, I got to tell you, Linda, where I start with is other people are imaginary. So, like, I understand you have this, you know, real-world situation that you're asking us about, and I'm going to take it back to what the reflection is for you.
Yes.
Right? Because he's just shown up to show you, to show you something really important. So one of the things that I see in there is a thread of can I... It's not as simple as can I make this happen, but it is about, you know, who you are enrolling to help you make it happen. That's the obvious part.
Okay.
So, you know, behind that, you're going to have to look at how you got connected with these people, let's take this one man in general, you know, why it is that you trusted him. You know, from the astrological standpoint, Saturn's been retrograding in Libra, which gives us really tough lessons about why we pick the people who are in our lives. So if you can dig back through any kind of relationship pattern, like does this guy remind you of anybody in your life, like from the past?
Oh, it has been a theme of disappointment where people don't meet the expectation or, you know, the upward spiral energy.
Okay. So, thank you. Great. So, so you have to look at the expectation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
What
other people are going to do and how other people are going to respond to you. This could be a karmic issue for you. I'm not looking at your chart, but this totally could be a karmic issue for you of not feeling met, not feeling treated as an equal, not having that kind of, you know, those kinds of relationships where equality is supported. So, mm-hmm. So if you can look at the questions of what it, you know, what are these expectations? Because if you're energetically broadcasting,
doing it in a timely, just doing it in a timely manner.
Doing it in a timely manner.
Efficient instead of just.
Yeah.
Okay. My question to you, Linda, if you don't mind me asking, Tom, is...
No, I don't mind.
Go ahead.
My question is, did you worry about if he really was going to be able to handle the job before you even started?
No, I picked the top person, a neighbor and the top dollar person, so that I wouldn't have to worry about friends helping me, that, you know, someone who's done it, I've seen their workmanship. It's just this attitude that needed to be, lack of communication is the problem. That's
okay.
The downfall.
The thing I'm also getting is a trust issue.
Yes, trust was broken because I did trust him to do a great job, a regular, you know, good job.
No, not with him, with yourself.
Oh, trusting
myself.
But
you're not trusting your judgment.
Trusting my judgment? Oh, I trust my judgment.
Yes. No. Well, are you? Because now you trusted this man, and he didn't follow through. And I'm just underneath. I'm just getting really strong. Now you're not trusting your own judgment. Just something
really
to think about.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, trusting spirit rather than a human, even myself, maybe.
Okay.
I don't know. There's got to be more to it.
Well, you know, sometimes you need to just stop thinking about it, and that's when the answers start popping into your head. Don't you find that, Tom?
I do.
That
yeah,
if you focus
that,
on it
I'm
too much, you're blocking yourself from it?
Mm-hmm. I wrote an email, and I haven't heard back. I'm just wondering if his ego is going to be so strong that he will refuse, or if he will return and we can work it out. Because I'm ready to pay him for materials. I just have to see some communication first.
If his ego is that, you know, able to be bent out of shape and kind of not working with, you know, with you, the client, right, the customer who's paying,
right,
then he's not going to be the right person. And the question of whether he's going to come back or not becomes a little, you know, becomes moot. So is he, yeah, is he the right person? Like, energetically, he's not the right person.
Yeah.
And he's trying to tell you that by ducking out. Materially,
yeah,
he's a great idea, right? He's the best person, top dollar, you know. But if his energy is pulled out, then it's pulled out. And well, if that's true, then you have shown him something he has to go work on, whether he's willing to or not.
Right, the persuasion, the influence,
yep,
and strengthening that. That's,
yeah,
what I'm doing now. I wrote him a note to give him more information to go by, and so it's really up to him, and I'm not attached. I have that healthy detachment.
Right.
Not so much that there's arrogance,
excellent,
but enough to be free in my own being. It's just that I'm sad and disappointed that,
yeah,
you know, it feels like another failure, but I really hear what you're saying, because when it doesn't, when it's not the right person, they go away.
Yeah, and there's really no such thing as failure, which is what humans need to learn.
Yeah,
We're all learning that.
Yeah,
and that level of detachment is awesome, Linda. So, and because for me, the thing, you know, these things will happen in my life too, and I have to come back to that and choose that detachment and say, what is it that I'm learning? And sometimes it is as simple as, if this person won't play with me and won't finish the contract, you know, won't deal, you know, then it's obviously not the right person. Like, even if materially everything made sense. You know, even if in the physical world. Yeah. So if he ducked out, then he did. If he comes back, he'll have a different attitude.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he either will or he won't.
Exactly,
and
yeah.
And I can hire and support financially another person.
Right.
Well, think of it that way. Also, is if this person is truly gone, Spirit's going to bring the right person in.
Yeah.
You're not
going
to be left holding the bag, because this is a very important project that you're doing. Spirit is going to support you.
Yeah, so one of the things that you just sparked in me is this idea that when we ask for something, you know, obviously we don't get too specific. We ask for, you know, the kind of support that is going to help us, et cetera. But we also can add to the end of it, this thing I'm focused on, or something better.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of lets Spirit know, lets the universe know that you're going to be open. And if the dude ducks out, then Spirit's going to be like, yeah, let's find you the right three people who can help you finish this. You know?
Yes, it feels to me like
and
I'm
probably
playing
for a better price.
Hmm? What's that?
And I said probably for a better price.
Could be.
A better attitude
like
for a better
a part.
Price. Yeah.
I feel like I'm playing a part on this island, standing toe-to-toe with these male energies, and I've done that before. It's a theme where I can do that, and I'm not attached to whether they like me or not. I'm just being who I am, and I have so much love to give, and I feel so alone at times, not really, but, you know, alone in the human realm, to have companions that I can collaborate with, and I know that's what I'm creating. The ones will show up, and so it's just setting a new standard, a higher level of integrity with everyone. And, okay, yeah, I know that's to be true, that as a new reference point for people, because the integrity of our country, you know, it filters down the microcosm of the macro.
Sure.
So here I am again, you know, and I wanted to try something different in my new location, you know, not, you know, challenging these male energies, these warriors, you know.
Yeah.
But here I am.
Well, can I ask you one more thing about that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Every way that people treat you has nothing to do with you.
Mm-hmm.
So if that can, I mean, the part of you that's running the show and is grounded knows that, but if there are the parts of you that are sad with this feeling of, because you said alone, well, not really, you know, you kind of
show
me that you're aware
alone
of these different parts of you. And, you know, if people come in and people go out and people, you know, it has nothing to do with you. Like, you're showing up as a reflection of something that they need to see. And so as you step toe-to-toe with these warrior energies, you know, we know automatically that they've signed up to experience a kind of feminine energy that can stand toe-to-toe with them. And that you're, you know, so we know that there's this, like, you know, because it's happening, everyone's asking for it to happen. So your detachment is great. And, you know, if there are parts of you that retain sadness, the meaning of what it means, like what meaning parts of you have assigned to what has happened is the whole issue that would create the block. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, I can dance away the so-called human pain.
Yeah.
You know, go and celebrate. Go play.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, it's just that if parts of you hold on to meaning, that's just kind of what I'm being told. If you find the parts of you hold on to meaning about you know why that stuff happens, because all it means is that you're interacting, and you know if you happen to be, because I work a lot with the archetype of Lilith. Are you familiar with her story?
No, but I was just going to say my spirit is willing to step up to the plate to be a living example of how to work. Because that's what I've been doing, working extra hard, intense labor in order to be an example of, you know, being 54, you know, the old-timer showing the young kids, you know.
Yeah.
A modeling for them firsthand. Anyway, who is this person?
I'm sorry?
You were saying a person, if I knew.
Well, the archetype of Lilith might be interesting for you to explore and look into, and if you look it up in a lot of sources, you'll find a lot of stuff about how she's a demon. I have some material. Actually, the book I published that we're not talking about is called Living Myth, and there are four chapters on Lilith in there. You might resonate with how I tell that Lilith story, because it's all about equality and parity and stepping up to the plate and. You know, being a strong feminine energy in the face of strong masculine energy, and how can we heal this rift between, you know?
And the way I do it is with a lot of humility and reverence and high respect for the male energy.
Great.
You know, I have so much love, and it's so in there, just built in, that my ground of being can keep it from being ego-driven. You know, just here to help.
Okay, great.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for just being a sounding board.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I think, you know, all is on the way. I affirm that.
Yeah.
All is on the way. Yeah, and a
most
higher
definitely.
Vibration, a higher level of what I imagine, of even what I imagine.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine at this point in time.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, it's exciting. I'm on the edge of my seat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, we are. Yeah. I don't mean to be the tension in the play. You know, I'm just the mirror. You know, a clear mirror, as clear as possible, as humanly possible.
Right.
Yeah. So anyway, I thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you for listening, Linda.
All right, you guys are fun.
Oh, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Have fun with your project.
All right. Yes, every day in every way.
Great.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
We had Frank on the line, but we only have 2 minutes, 3 minutes left, so I'm going to apologize to Frank, and I'm saying I'm really, really sorry. Hopefully Tom will be on again, and he can call in next time with his questions, because I'm sure, are you open to coming back again sometime, Tom?
Yeah, of course.
Cool, because this has been a lot of fun.
Great, thank you.
So, any final notes that you would like to say about the classes, your books, where they're available, anything you would like to say?
Yeah, well, as far as classes go, I teach a variety of things in Tucson, and I also occasionally do phone teleclasses on astrology stuff and spirituality stuff, and sometimes together. And so I teach through a couple groups here in Tucson. All the information is in my site calendar at my website. And the book is available through my website. On the store page, there's a link to order it. It's called Seeing Through Spiritual Eyes. And I guess that's it. Well, you know, one other thing. I also offer two original natal reports through my site. If people are familiar with astrology, natal reports. And one of them's on Lilith, that archetype I was just talking about. And the other one is on emotional healing in 2012. And it's called Living in the Present Tense. And so it's a lot of these principles from channeling my guides and some ascended masters about how to adjust to these energies that culminate that the energies that are happening right now that culminate in 2012 and kind of what the real deal with 2012 is. So that would probably be the last thing to squeeze in there.
Oh. Excellent. So, Tom Jacob, it has been an honor and a pleasure, and it is an open invitation for you to come on and spend a little time with the people on air. So I thank you very much. It's been an honor and a lot of fun.
Thank you, Jen.
Thank you. And with that, this is Jennifer Hellman saying, with each breath of air, we hope you gain new insights and inspirations. Until next time, many blessings and good night.